fashion.
Sun, warm and humid. Could be some thunderstorm activity late with a high in...
This hour is an encore presentation of the radio show. You won't be able to call us tonight, but we hope you'll enjoy it. Long before we laughed at Gary Shandling and enjoyed his work on Showtime, Cable, NBC, he began his career in comedy as a highly regarded writer of television situation comedy. We've seen his work on Sanford and Son and Welcome Back, Kotter. And most recently, we've enjoyed his work not only in terms of writing, but in terms of performing on the very, very popular It's Gary Shandling Show on the Showtime Cable Television Network. Gary Shandling, of course, has made numerous appearances as guest and host of The Tonight Show on NBC. He's been on all the major television shows, and I'm happy he's here with us on radio tonight. Gary Shandling on the radio show. You're enjoying an encore presentation of the radio show, so we're not able to take your calls tonight. We are back and joined by writer and comedian Gary Shandling. We've been trying to get Gary in here for a long time, and he consented to come in tonight. On the way to Hermosa Beach.
I was dragged in. I was blindfolded by two men. I don't even know the route here. I was dragged in. You know, what people don't know around the country, and you don't know till this very moment, is they don't know what kind of building you're in doing this.
No, they don't.
My gym is in this building. Oh, yeah.
Really and truly?
Yeah, I work out here. I knew exactly where it was. They say, oh, it's the same building as that restaurant downstairs. And I said, oh, great. That's where I work out. I was here this morning working out.
What time do you come for the workout?
I work out, I like to get up real early, work out about maybe 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, real early.
Yeah.
At the crack of 11 o'clock. Right.
I like to squeeze in right before lunch.
Let me just ask you a couple quick ones here, because people know your work, and a lot of people, myself included.
Have you ever seen me, but forgive me for interrupting, yourself included, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No. Have I ever seen?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Have you ever seen me is what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, I saw you at the ABC lot when you were doing your show there for Showtime.
That's right. You were sitting on my car.
You were doing a show on Laffy at the time. Remember the Laffy show and the dog wound up in What's-Her-Face's house?
Didn't we ask you to do the show once?
I don't... Maybe.
I know that in the writer's meeting, seriously, your name came up.
Yeah, right.
Ever got around.
There's a guy that we never want in here.
No. No, I think we tried to get you to do something once. I know we did. It seems like I even mentioned it to you then. I said, would you do the show?
Why?
You said, who are you?
Why is It's Gary Shandling's show off the air?
Well, you know, it's off the air because we had an order for 72 episodes, which was a huge order.
Mm-hmm.
What happened is we did the first season, we did 18. Then Showtime came back and said, hey, how would you like to do 55 more? And I wasn't so quick to say yes at that time because it was grueling. It's really grueling. And I agreed to do the 55. And I knew that when we finished all 72, I don't know if that totaled 72.
But well, it's 73, but it's... Okay.
Whatever it is. We finished them, and there was never any question that it would go any further than that.
Oh, I see. So, in other words, the commitment was for the 70...
No, I mean they might have... I'm saying from us, from me personally, there wasn't any question. It wasn't like, oh, you'll do these from them and then stop.
Right.
But creatively, the show had reached its peak. You know, the show would still be on were we really wanting to do it. When I say we, I mean myself, the producers. It was time to move on. I think it would still certainly be on Showtime. The ratings on Fox weren't that good. Fox didn't really cancel the show. We told them we weren't going to be doing it.
Well, but
anymore.
You know the problem at Fox. They have UHF television stations, and they don't have a great lineup of stations, and it's hard for them to get a rating.
Well, I think that's all true, and actually I got some calls from some... really respected
it's my
people.
It's my way of saying it's not your fault or the show's fault that it didn't get great ratings on Fox.
No, I think that's true. I also think, honestly, that it appealed to a narrow demographic. I mean, it was a pretty offbeat show, but I got a lot of phone calls from people that I certainly respect in the business before I stopped the show saying, please don't be doing this. because of your ratings, because in fact they said the same thing you said.
Right, exactly.
So that wasn't at all what influenced the decision. It was creatively time to go ahead. You know, I'd never acted before. I was just working on a piece about this. I'd never acted before. I didn't study acting in high school or college or any of that. And I'd studied some acting when I hit about 25, and here the first role I play is Gary Shandling, which is a living hell between you and me. And it got so confusing, I'd really walk off the stage and go, oh, I didn't do a good job, that's not what I'm like. So it was time to just move on and do something else. I'd never, I'm not one to... do something over and over again.
In other words, you are not going to be Bob Hope, where you come out and dance to hear Thanks for the Memory for the rest of your life until you're 85.
Well, I can't make that analogy because Bob Hope is a legend. You made that, you know.
But
I certainly can't creatively. Generally speaking, no, don't think I could be the kind of guy that just does stand-up,
Gotcha. All right.
And that's probably what's...
The thought occurs to me, I was watching the Letterman show because Jerry Seinfeld was on, and he's coming on here.
Oh, great.
Now, Seinfeld plays Seinfeld on television, and there are others who play themselves, and the thought occurs to me sitting here that Gary Shandling is probably the first comedian/performer to play himself in a continuing role on television. I don't know if you know.
No. In this sort of generation, excuse me for interrupting, I mean George Burns, Jack Benny,
okay. But I just wonder if maybe you reinvented that particular form of playing yourself. You're right, George Burns did himself, Benny did himself. But for a time, comedians didn't play their own life story on television, or what they purported to be their life
story. Yeah, I think there's some truth to it. I think that... that I went that show really committed to revealing something about my life and using my basic character as the core of the character that was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after, frankly, the first year, it really started to shift and it became a caricature for a list of reasons that is not uncommon for any television series.
Probably your life was worth about a year, and then...
I knew I was in trouble.
Wait a second. I got no more life here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the writers are saying, God, you're boring. Please go out and do something. Hasn't anything happened? So, I mean, they were completely fabricated stories after the first few, really. I mean, completely fabricated. And then the character became... anyway... And that's why I wanted to do something else. I mean, that show wasn't exactly who I am.
I understand.
Yeah. I mean, I even lapsed into...
Let me ask you about the character.
And this isn't my real voice, for God's sake.
Of course it isn't.
No.
By the way, your lips do look very nice to me.
Well, especially on radio, they look particularly good.
Let me ask you about casting. The episode that has always stuck in my mind was the one where you take the lady out trying to impress her, and you go to the restaurant, and they have a table for everybody but you. And you walk past the wishing well, and you put your money in, and as you do, we hear Ed Ames singing My Cup Runneth Over with Love.
I know.
And then you introduce her to Ed Ames, and he's there singing. How tough was it to book Ed Ames to do that? You know, when you go to...
I think he called us before we called him. No,
really?
No. I don't remember... I'll tell you the weirdest cast. I don't remember how that worked.
Okay, and understand the genesis of the question. Like when I saw,
I can give you the example you're looking for.
Okay, but let me give you the example I'm basing it all on.
Okay.
In Airplane, they had the guy in the Nut House who made believe he was Ethel Merman, and they cut to Ethel Merman singing "Light the Lights."
Right.
Okay, I said, how the hell did they ever sell Ethel Merman to do that cameo role? How do you sell people?
Well, you know, I mean, in fact, that was always a question because we only could hope when we called certain people that they either were fans of the show.
Right.
Or, in fact, had a real ability to laugh at themselves and said, you want me to what? You want me to sing? I'm sort of mocking myself, right? And if they are, sort of confident enough and egoless enough, they're happy to do it. You know, it's fun. Well, I'll tell you this, working on my show was enormous fun. There wasn't one guest that came on the show that didn't think it was the most creative environment they'd seen in years on television because they were allowed to ad-lib and there was a lot of improvisation. And even when we were taping the show, There was improvisation
surely,
going on.
Surely.
So, I mean, they were just elated. I mean, Rob Reiner would do the show virtually as many times as we asked him. He came on the show and ad-libbed this thing about Gary. You know, you playing Gary Shandling, you're digging a hole you'll never get out of. You know, and he was just allowed to go. He was hilarious.
Yeah, he was. I'll tell you who else was hilarious on the show was the night that Susan Anton was on for the birth of a baby.
Yeah.
And Doc Severinsen walked on.
Oh, yeah.
Great moment.
That's one of my favorite episodes.
Great, great moment. What were the frustrations in writing for Sanford and Son and the other shows you worked on as a writer that led you to finally decide to go before the cameras and not work behind them?
Well, it all comes down to that same thing I mentioned earlier, which is it's very difficult for me to do something over and over again that I've sort of accomplished it.
I kind of got that.
Yeah. So that, forgive me, just that I'm so used to saying it in a relationship.
Yeah.
So, I go, no, don't you understand what I'm saying,
dear?
Yeah,
but from what I hear in relationships in my life, doing it over and over again is not even in the question or the equation. But
I don't know anything about your personal life. Are you currently married?
No, sir.
We'll get back to this.
No, sir, but anyway.
Okay, all right then. Seems like you're very open about talking about that. So, the deal is what question did you ask me?
I asked you about performing as opposed to writing, and you said, as you have said twice, you don't want to do the same thing over and over again.
The situation was, I'd written a script for Sanford and Son. That was the first show. I was like 23 years old. A wonderful opportunity. Learned a lot that I still use from that show. Wrote another script. So I'd written three. And then I remember going to the story editor and saying, now, why do you write a fourth one?
Right.
Right? So I immediately thought, and he looked at me and he said, burned out at 25, huh?
Yeah, right, done.
So I thought, there's something really wrong with me. I really did. I thought, there's something really wrong with me. Because then I wrote a script for Welcome Back, Cotter, which was a blast writing on that show. And I was just losing my discipline to sit at the typewriter and write these scripts. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going to a therapist for the first time, and I said, what's the deal? I can't figure this out. Am I really burned? There's something that isn't jiving. And she said, no, you're not trusting your instincts. What you really just don't necessarily want to do this forever.
Right.
And
right.
I'd done it for 4 years, and thought, oh, no, I should do it.
I'm going to pause for the radio stations. We are with Gary Shandling, and we'll be right back after these messages. That you're enjoying an encore presentation of the radio show, so we're not able to take your calls tonight. We are back with Gary Shandling. As we speak, he is preparing to shoot a special for the HBO television network. No doubt to be called, it's Gary Shandling's special.
No. And take your hand off my leg. The, No, see, I will not do...
I'm glad to know it was your leg,
I'm tired. See, now I won't go near that. Now, I won't do the It's Gary Shandling stuff anymore, so it's going to be called stand-up, period.
Stand-up.
Period. After it.
Because, stand up, see,
I do believe in generic sort of simple titles rather than, look how clever the title is. That's why It's Gary. What was the name of my show? It's Gary Shandling Show.
Right.
And then my special will be called Stand Up.
Period.
Right. That's it. Because that's all. It's going to be just stand up. 50 minutes of stand up of new stuff that I've been working on in the last year.
So it's you standing up. This isn't one of those where you come on and introduce some people.
No, no.
You know, I hate those when they say, okay, now it's the Gary Shandling special, and we get 20 seconds of you, and then you introduce 48 other people that we never heard of.
That would be Gary Shandling and friends.
Yeah,
although
and we know
one guy.
We know the story there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Gary Shandling and Pen Pal.
Yeah.
Gary Shandling and anyone who will do this for $1,000.
Exactly.
That's what it would be called.
Now, you're on the way.
Hey, and, look who I paid off.
You know, you've asked permission, Gary has asked permission, and it's been granted here to leave a few minutes early because he's on his way to Hermosa Beach, which is like a 40, 45-minute ride down the road.
Yeah.
What are you going to Hermosa Beach
Well,
upon?
There's a nightclub there where I try new material, and I'm working currently on material, so I have a lot of different kinds of material to prepare. And I have the time to go down to these clubs, whereas I didn't when I was doing my show, so I'm taking advantage of it. And I'm really, really, really pleased with what I'm doing on stage.
Now, when you go, for example, as you're doing tonight, to a club to try out material, does the audience know that you're coming, or are you a surprise?
They don't even know I'm on when I'm on.
They don't?
No, they don't know that I'm coming in, and they say... In fact, last night they said, hey, we have a special guest, and they applauded, and I said, believe me, folks, I'm not that special of a guest.
Okay.
And then I started up. And, they don't know. I just walk in and do, I did 20 minutes last night.
And how did it go?
Oh, it went great. It went great, you know, and I still do that thing. I tape record my sets. I ad lib a lot, and I listen to the tapes.
And when you go down to try out material, do you do that gratis, or are you paid for it?
No, I'm not paid for that.
I mean, I know that maybe there are minimums or unions or something.
You know what? If I wanted to, it's a good question. Don't let me ramble about this, which you haven't so far. If I really wanted to make a club date out of it, I could.
Of course.
But you know what? I like stopping in these clubs when there's no pressure. I pull out a piece of paper. I mean, I love it. I mean, I'm getting up and trying material without having to do the show.
Gotcha.
There are guys in town who kind of won't do that. They book a night at the club, and then they try their stuff, and they charge $10 a ticket or whatever.
Okay. But this way, you have the freedom to stop in when you want to, you know, do what you want to do and say thank you very much and go home.
Yeah, good. So I can really bomb. I have the freedom to bomb if I really want to, and I need to have that freedom because many of the jokes really bomb.
I have to pause for the radio station. We're here with Gary Shandling on the radio show. Before, we were interrupted by the music, and I forgot what the hell you were talking about.
I forgot. Well, you asked me something and then timed it to the music so that you could help. You always have the last word on this show. It's unbelievable how you've got this figured out. Suddenly and you'll never be this will be the last time you host the Grammys. We'll be right back.
Now, this message,
they,
right.
You're left standing there, you know, and take your hand off my leg, please. You know?
What did you study at school? Electrical engineering?
I was an electrical engineering major for 3 years. And walked out of a lab one day and said, I can't go back in there.
Really?
Yeah. And just dropped out of the engineering college and said, well, I'm going to try and write comedy. I was a funny kid, and I had always watched comedians and was always making funny tapes and wrote funny stuff in school. But growing up in Tucson, Arizona, there was no one there to sort of, as a mentor, to go, oh, you know what you should do is comedy. So I had to sort of find that on my own.
Curious, though, that you would invest 3.5 years in EE and then one day walk out of a lab and say, no, I invested 3 months in pre-med and said, this is not for me. I can't cut frogs up. I sure as hell can't cut people. And that was the end of it.
Yeah. Well, you fortunately found out sooner than I did. I mean, you know. Took me a longer time. I have trouble trusting my instincts. I probably knew after 3 months it's not what I wanted to do, but figured.
And when you were funny as a kid, did you imitate or do the people that you saw on TV?
Well, the first person I really remember doing it was like in seventh grade. As I got up in seventh grade and did a bit from the Carl Reiner Mel Brooks 2000 Year Old Man album, and it was the one where the baby talks. And you don't go, and there was stuff about the placenta in there, and I'm getting up in front of class and talking about, you know, there was stuff in there that went over everybody's head, including my own.
It's the placenta.
See, there you go. I'm thinking of that town that's just south of L.A.
Right, placenta. It's the placenta.
Yeah. Okay. Where's the San Fernando Valley?
Anyway, let's get to both of your calls. Here is Dave in Dixon, Illinois. Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Dave. Say hi to Gary Shandling.
Hi, Gary Shandling.
Hey.
It's so cool that I just get to call you up and talk to you.
Thanks for calling Collect.
Hey, no problem. Well, I was wondering, you were on a, some talk show like David Letterman.
Yeah.
And you told this amazing story about meeting George Bush.
Yeah.
Is that a true story?
Yeah, everybody asks me that. When I do it in my stand-up act, and people go, well, now, how much of your act is true, especially the George Bush part? I met him. It's 100% true. Everything that I tell in that story is true. I was just on a tour of the White House, and a regular tour of the White House, a couple summers ago, and he walked out. He walked down to go into the Oval Office, which is not perfectly round, by the way. And
I'm still back that you're on a tour of the White House, like you stood in line and bought a ticket.
No, actually, what happened is I think only the liberal line was all potato again. So
you're going.
I had gotten, frankly, it's one of those VIP tours. I called and I said I'm Gary Shandling, and they didn't know what, you know. They said, okay, sure, we'll give you a tour. That's very common. And so there was a guy showing me around. And then they said, the president is on his way down to the Oval Office. If you stand over there, maybe you'll get a glimpse of him as he walks in. Well, as he walked by, and they may have told him I was there, I don't know, he suddenly stopped, turned to me and said, Gary, you know, and I right away I started to think, oh boy, who'd I vote for? Who'd I vote for? Because in my wildest imagination, I never thought I'd be meeting the president of the United States.
Right.
And to make a long, it's a very long story, to make
it
short.
It's a great story.
He asked me to get up at this function and perform with him as a surprise to everybody. And I did, and he ended up calling me the next morning and saying, thanks for doing that show. And then I got back to L.A. and ended up, he sent me an invitation to go to a state dinner, which I ended up going to. And I don't know why he likes me. I'm not a Republican. I'm middle-of-the-road conservative.
Right, right.
I mean, I never burned a flag, but then I never put one out.
Right.
So I go to this state dinner on top of it, which is another whole long story.
Well, but let's dwell on state dinner. The chow is good there, isn't it?
The food was decent. What was unbelievable is, first of all, I sat at a table with Marilyn Quayle, was at my table, who leaned across to me and said, what do you do for a living? I said, imagine her asking a man that question.
Yeah, right.
Right back at you. So she says,
hey, use this in her most of these.
I know, I never did that
good
part.
Good stuff. That's
what
a
did
good
I
luck.
Say,
no, no, hey, imagine her
asking a man that question.
Right, exactly.
I'm jotting that down. So she says, what do you do for a living? I said...
And you said, imagine you asking.
Oh, funny, you should ask me. I was just about to ask you, your husband. So I said, I'm a comedian. And I realized as I said it, that saying you're a comedian, this is not the way to ingratiate yourself to Marilyn Quayle. It's like, you might as well say, I'm Muammar Gaddafi.
Right.
I mean, it's like,
yeah,
or
Larry Marr or Curly Marr, either
exactly
one of the three, right.
Yeah. I make fun of your hubby every chance I get, you know. But we ended up hitting it off. We talked about our hair all night. And then they had the dancing, and this is the punchline to the whole routine that I do, is we ended up doing this ballroom dancing, and it was just, there was this one moment which was so surreal. I'm just trying desperately to get through this one formal dance. I'm going to do one. I figure I'll get
but
through
like,
one.
Are you dancing with Mrs. Quayle?
I was dancing with my girlfriend, who wanted to get through, as women will want to do, please, let's do one dance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that, without yelling out, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2,
right,
3, 4, because it's this ballroom dancing. So I'm feeling really self-conscious, and as I out of the corner of my eyes, I'm dancing, I see the president and Mrs. Bush dancing towards us, and as they go by, it was the most amazing moment, as they go by, so help me, the president points at me and just starts laughing at me, like his date is so hot. That story in a club, to the delight of nobody, is about 20 minutes long.
But it's got to knock them dead. Got to knock them dead. Dave, thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye-bye. We'll continue with more of you on the toll-free lines. We'll get to Gary's other call right after a station break.
Hey, honey, we're eating dinner.
Everybody, I'm Tom Snyder. This hour is an encore presentation, a rerun of the radio show. You won't be able to call on the phone tonight, but we sure hope you're enjoying it. We are back with Gary Shandling. Here is Bill in... well, we've covered this, but go ahead. All right, Bill, go ahead. Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Okay, thanks, Bill. Say hi to Gary.
Hello, Gary. How you doing, bud?
Bill, I'm doing good.
Welcome back.
Where are you, Bill?
He's in Baltimore.
Oh, cool.
And he doesn't sound happy about it.
No. Bill, what's wrong?
Baltimore's all right.
Well, I know. Baltimore's great, but
he's just saying you don't sound happy. He didn't mean
to. No, not at all.
Okay.
I wondered whatever became of your show and why did it go off the air?
Oh, we discussed that.
We did that already.
Yeah.
I didn't come in on the end of it.
Well, what happened? There was a bad bomb scare, and we had to stop it.
The reason I ask is because I found you very funny.
Thanks.
And I'm wondering if you're ever going to think about a comeback.
A comeback? A comeback?
My mother put you up to this call, didn't she? My mother's...
A comeback?
My mother's the most upset I'm not on TV. Oh, brother.
Now, Bill, what happened is Gary had a very successful run. He didn't want to do the same thing forever, and he said, we've done the show, now let's go on to something else.
But if you mean you hope I do another project, I appreciate that, Bill, and I'm going to tape an HBO special, and I'm looking for something that sort of inspires me. And I got some writing planned, so I'm in good shape, Bill, and yourself.
I want to say about the I loved your dealing directly with the audience. I think that made it a lot funnier. And if you do, are you thinking about teaming up with anybody? I think you would be great as a duet with somebody.
Like Cher, you mean?
I was thinking something that somebody else would say is K-Bell.
It was going to be Gary and Cher originally. I just didn't
Gary
want to get
and
the
Cher,
note.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody along the lines of maybe Kay Ballard or something?
Hey. A hipper guy than we need right now.
Thanks for calling, Bill. Appreciate it. Here is Mike in San Diego. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, Tom.
Good.
Hello, Gary.
Hey, Mike.
Mike, what time is it where you are?
Well, let's see. It's about
8:45. Good. Okay.
I was wondering, whatever happened to the movie I had heard you were supposed to be doing? It's Gary Shandling's movie.
Yeah. Actually, that movie was a go movie, and it was too much like the TV show. It was a go movie 1 year after the TV show.
Uh-huh.
And then as we kept doing the TV show, which we never expected to go on and on and on, I realized it was too much like the series, so I'm looking for to rewrite that, as a matter of fact.
What you're saying is you used up the movie doing the series.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Will you ever come back to San Diego?
Notice how comeback is a part of tonight's show.
Yeah. Well,
you know, are you going to make a comeback? Would you come back to San Diego?
Yeah.
I went to your show, or to see it, and to my surprise, it actually kind of sold out, so...
To your surprise?
Yeah.
Why would that be?
Well, I don't know. I just didn't think I'd have any problem getting in, and it was sold
uh-huh.
out.
So the last on you, isn't it?
I think so.
What do you do for a living?
Well, I'm a nurseryman. I sell plants.
Yeah.
What is the hottest selling plant that you got right now?
Let's see. There's a lot of stuff you can grow right now, I guess.
That wasn't
selling a lot of pansies right now.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're in season, aren't they?
Now, am I correct that those aren't sold out, I assume?
No.
Right.
No, not at all.
Not like my show.
Listen,
no.
Mike, isn't it a fact that pansies die out in real hot weather?
Yeah.
Very much like my show.
Yeah, right.
I should team up with Tom Snyder, Snyder Shandling.
And
I think that's the name of a bath supply house in L.A.
No, it's a
Snyder Diamond.
It's a bank.
Snyder Diamond's the name of a bath supply.
Yeah. Listen, Mike... What about, like, bonsai trees? Do they sell those anymore? Are those...
Sure, we sell them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do they cost a lot?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and they die quick, don't they?
Well,
you need a vacation, Tom.
They do.
I need a new life as well.
You need a vacation.
Let me finish with Mike, for God's sake. I'm trying to buy some new plants for my house. Jeez.
He is kind of rude, isn't he, Tom?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, after all, it was Gary Shandling's show.
You know,
everyone he comes on, he says, it's Gary Shandling's show. Hi, I'm Gary Shandling's show.
Well,
kiss my Sesame Hayakawa. So, Mike, bonsai trees, they're expensive and they die quick, right?
Well, for most people, yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, Mike, thanks for calling.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Adios.
Mick in Chicago, hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Mick.
How you doing?
Good, Mick.
Hey, Gary,
Now, you blew off an electrical engineer education to go into, which is actually a pretty stable profession, to go into comedy. How did you break into the business, make some money?
You know, I got lucky. I moved to L.A. right after college, and I didn't know anybody in show business and had no connection of any sort. And I took a comedy writing class at UCLA, met a guy whose father was a writer. I wrote a spec script for MASH, which means you write one and then you try and submit it. And he gave it to his father, who thought that there was real potential for a guy who'd written his first script. And I then coincidentally bumped into a guy who was the story editor on Sanford and Son and showed him that script. And he said, write a spec Sanford and Son, which I did. And they ended up saying, hey, you're good, write one for us, and gave me an assignment, and that was the beginning.
Who are your mentors in that comedy?
Woody Allen's the first, and all by himself in my book. And then there are a slew afterwards. I love Richard Pryor and Lenny Bruce, and it's really quite a long list. I think Steve Martin's hilarious, and Albert Brooks, and... You know, I was a big Dick Shawn fan, and he never reached the stardom that he really deserved. Really talented man.
Gary, where do your ideas come from? While you're sleeping, or in the bathroom, or where?
Which ideas do you mean? Certain ones come when I'm sleeping. And then there's the ones I can use on stage. Those come mostly when I'm sitting down during the day.
What type of comedies do you like? Topical... you know, like current events.
Mick, you're not going to do a whole show tonight with Gary, are you?
I don't know.
Well, I do.
Hey, one other question. Are you going to ever be in Chicago to do some stand-up?
I was just...
The way to ask that, Mick, is, Gary, are you ever going to come back
to Chicago?
Are you ever going to come back to Chicago?
Yes, well, that would be appropriate because I was in Chicago at the improvisation, and they were probably sold out, much to your surprise.
All right.
Thanks, Mick.
I wish you the best of luck.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, and good luck to you.
Right down the road, Aaron in Bloomington, Illinois. Hello.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
You're in the car, Aaron.
I am in the car.
Don't run into a truck or something. Go ahead.
I'm delivering pizzas, Tom.
For the Domino's?
Oh, no. I get better paid than that.
Who do you work for? Give them a plug.
Avanti's in Normal.
Avanti, okay. In Normal, Illinois.
In Normal, Illinois.
Is there a town called Abnormal, Illinois?
No, there's not Abnormal.
Okay.
There is Normal, however.
All right, go ahead.
I had a question on the Gary Shandling show. Grant was the neighbor boy.
Yeah.
He looks like his... Who played his father on there? Are they father and son?
No, but we knew that they looked a lot alike. That's why we cast them. It was just a coincidence in casting that they looked so much alike, and they were both the best for the part, so it worked out great. You know, Fred Savage auditioned for the part of Grant on the show.
Oh,
and
really?
We didn't think he was right. So we were really masters at casting. But actually, he worked out perfect for us. Absolutely perfect. He's exactly what we wanted for
Yeah, he was great. And you weren't so bad yourself. And I'm glad you're not going to...
Fred Savage also read for the part of me, actually.
You're not going to ever come back to Normal, I don't
know. So, Aaron, do all the drivers for Avanti Pizza and Normal have phones in their car?
No, they don't. I'm the only one.
And it's your phone that you pay for, right?
I pay for it myself.
And does this give you, like, a leg up? Can people call you in the car for an order or something? I mean, what's the reason you would have this?
Actually, I use it a lot because Illinois State University is here, and the dorms, they have party line telephones.
Ah.
And five dorm rooms to a telephone. And
the reason you got the cellular phone, obviously, is for the chicks, right?
Matt, I make more money this way. I get my phone calls out of the way.
Gotcha.
Call them on driving on the way and have them meet me downstairs.
Beautiful. All right, and are you on a pizza run now?
Well, not pizza, actually. We sell spaghetti and sandwiches. But I'm on a run right now.
It's a generic thing, is what I'm saying. What are you delivering, Aaron?
I'm delivering spaghetti right now.
What kind of sauce?
Meat sauce.
All right.
We make our own.
All right.
Things fresh.
Yeah, right.
Don't slam on the brakes. There's nothing worse than spaghetti against a dash.
Yes, awful. Awful.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Goodbye, Aaron.
Goodbye.
Goodbye now. Anyway, we're with Gary Shandling. You want to go to Hermosa Beach?
I want to stay with you till 9 o'clock.
All right, you got it. We'll be right back with Gary after these messages.
gentle reminder that you're enjoying an encore presentation of the radio show, so we're not able to take your calls tonight. Okay, we're back for Gary's last call. Jim in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hello.
Hello, Gary?
Jim.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Oh, not a whole lot tonight.
Well, you're... Well, I won't say that.
Okay. Well, it's late at night here.
Hurry along now, Jim, because Gary...
That was my fault. I started a sentence and stopped. I apologize.
Jim,
okay.
You got to hurry because Gary's got to go to Hermosa Beach.
Okay. Well, I'll get you on your way to Hermosa Beach. I just wanted to let you know that I used to live about a half a block from your old high school in Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Well, it was for a while.
And was the statue up by the time you were there?
Well, it was pretty well painted.
Yeah.
I lived there for 2 years, enjoyed it, until one night when I was sitting in my living room, some thugs came along and they stole all the wheels from my sports car.
Oh, that's too bad.
And so I moved.
Yeah, that's too bad. My mom does that. She's got a big business doing that in Tucson.
Well, you know, there was a lady with silver hair out
No,
there.
She's got bright red hair.
Bright red.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, with shoes to match.
Yeah, yeah. Shellac in place.
It wasn't her then.
Yeah, no.
All right, Jim, take care of yourself, pal.
Okay.
Tucson, it gets to be like 125 degrees.
Yeah, in the shade, yeah. And you know, they say, well, it's a dry heat. And like a cabbie said in New York one time, he says, yes, so's an oven.
Yeah.
Have a good time in Hermosa Beach, and I thank you for doing this.
Hey,
I hope you had a good time, and maybe
I had a good time.
Some century you'll come back.
Yeah, and thanks for having the band here.
You're welcome. Gary Shandling.
Maybe sometime I'll come back.
Host, get your hand off. We'll be right. Gary Shandling on the radio show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Has Frank come back from lunch yet?